Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for taking the time to tune in. For those of you out in the internet virtual world, I want to welcome you. And for those of you live in the studio, hello. I am so excited on tonight. I get so excited when I get ready to do a show. I love bringing on guests. I get excited about various topics that we discuss. But I really get excited when God has given me permission to be my own guest. Amen. I get excited when he's given me a word, a lesson, a revelation to bring to you, my listening audience. And I just pray that the words and the lessons and the revelations and the transparency and everything that I bring on Thursday evening, that it's a blessing to you, that you've learned something from it, that you're able to take those lessons and apply them. Maybe you're going through something and you tuned in to a Process in the Pain show and it spoke to your very situation. My desire is, and I thank God that he's allowed me to have this platform, that I will be able to bring various testimonies and various life lessons. And my hope is that it inspires you, that it encourages you, empower, and educate you. So that's the whole goal of Process in the Pain. Nothing more, nothing less. Never do I want you to think that I have arrived, because the truth of the matter is that oftentimes when I'm bringing a show to you, it's because of something that I've either been through, I'm going through, or something that I'm going to go through. And so I just thank God that he's used me as a vessel to minister to his people. So again, I want to welcome you on tonight. I'm excited about tonight's topic, because I really believe that this is a good show. And I want to take a moment. If you're listening in and you have friends or family members that you believe this show is going to be a fit for, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Get them the information so that they could call in or that they could listen in online, because I think tonight's show is going to really be a blessing to us all. The title of tonight's show is, Who Do They Say That You Are? Who do they say that you are? And I love this topic because I hear often, and I even was a believer, I didn't care what people, I don't care what they think about me. I don't care what they say. I know who I am. I know what kind of relationship I got. And we say it. And we say it because we think it's the right. I think most of the time, most of us are people of good character. And I think a lot of times we say things and we truly believe what we're saying is the right thing, because I think if we knew it wasn't the right thing, then we wouldn't say it. And so this subject, I think, is going to be a very good subject, because many of us walk around with that attitude. And the attitude is, I don't care what people think. And especially us as believers, because I oftentimes hear believers say, I don't care what somebody thinks. Only God can judge me. And I'm saying tonight that maybe tonight's show will give you a different perspective. Maybe tonight's show will make you say, Maybe tonight's show will change, give you a paradigm shift that will change your mind, or change the way you perceive, or change the way you think about that subject matter. And again, do we care what people think? Does God care about what people think about us? And that's the subject on tonight. Now, again, I'm going to bring you the revelation I got on it. You may get a different revelation, and that's great, because I believe that depending on where you're at in this season of your life, your revelation could be different. But I'm going to tell you what the revelation is that God gave me on tonight, and I hope it blesses you. So we're going to be going through a lot of scriptures, so please take notes, so you can reflect back to those scriptures and meditate on those scriptures for yourself to see what God says to you about this. Again, tonight's title is, Who Do They Say That You Are? And that came to mind because I was studying, and Matthew, the book of Matthew, I kind of have a tendency that when I wake up in the morning, before I open my eyes and before I got to bed, a lot of times I'll just say, okay, Lord, what you want me to know today? And then a scripture will drop in my head. And oftentimes I'll roll over and I'll open up that scripture, and a lot of times it'll be like, what you want me to know this for? It don't make sense. That's what I say. It don't make sense. I don't know what you want me to know this about. And sometimes I'll get immediate revelation, and then sometimes I feel like I'll go throughout my day. And as I'm going throughout my day, that revelation will begin to unwind. And oftentimes on Thursdays, I have morning meetings from my occupation. I have morning meetings every morning at 9 a.m., and it's the executive team. And on Thursdays, my CEO will always ask me, Denise, what is your show on tonight? And oftentimes, all I have is a title. And sometimes I don't even have that, but most of the time I only have a title. And I may have bits and pieces. It's very abstract. And then throughout the day, those pieces, as I'm going about doing my job, those pieces will begin to drop in me, pieces, scriptures, different things that I need to present. And I thank God for being so faithful because he's very faithful. He shows up. He orchestrates this thing. And I think that one of the reasons why he's able to come in and orchestrate this, one of the reasons that he's able to come in and move by his Holy Spirit, I think a lot of times is because I get out of the way, especially as it pertains to Processing the Pain, MCD Network. I try to get out the way and let God do what he's going to do. I don't question what he's going to do. I trust him. I trust him because this is his ministry that he's given me stewardship over, and I trust that he's going to tell you exactly what you need to hear. Because sometimes when the things that he wants me to tell you is not things I really want to tell you. Why? Because they step on my toes. And so because they step on my toes, I don't want to tell you, but I made an agreement and a commitment to be obedient to the movement of his spirit so that I could tell you exactly what he tells me to tell you and not so much what I want to tell you. Amen. So tonight, again, this subject is a great subject. And again, I'm not trying to sell you on anything. I'm just going to present the revelation to you, and then you let me know how the revelation helped you. Amen. So we're going to go to Matthew. I want to start off with Matthew. And I'm going to start off with the 16th chapter of Matthew. And I'm actually going to be going over verses 13 through 20. But I'm just going to read verse 13 right now. And I'm going to read that verse, and then I'm going to sit it there, and then I'm going to go and build my case. Amen? So in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "Now when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?'" Who do people say the Son of Man is? Now, I'm going to leave that right there, and we're going to come back to Matthew later. But remember that. Remember that Jesus asked his disciples, who do they say that I am? Who do they think that I am? And so this is going to make a lot of sense to you. As I begin to lay down the foundation and we come back to Matthew, it's going to make a lot of sense to you. Because I'm telling you, I could just about jump out my chair right now. If I could walk and talk with this thing, I surely would. So I said, why would Jesus care? Because, you know, I've been told my life, don't worry about what other people think about you. Just be your own self. Why do you care? If you want to do this, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. And we grew up, I don't know about you, but I'm a 60s baby. I mean, I was born in the 60s, so I grew up in the 70s era. And a lot of these songs were coming out, these secular songs were coming out. And for us, we didn't know anything. At least I didn't know anything about gospel music. I didn't know anything about that at the time. So I grew up under, the Temptations and Isley Brothers, these kind of groups that was, you know, what we thought was revolutionary. You know, it's your thing, and Who Shot the Judge, and all these things that we were embracing. And so I came from that generation that we could do whatever we wanted to do because it was our thing. If it feel good, do it. Okay? So when I got saved and I began to walk in the light, a lot of those old mindsets didn't leave me because I got saved. A lot of those old mindsets didn't leave me. And it wasn't until I began to get into the Word of God, but not just read the Word, but begin to meditate on the Word and begin to build a personal relationship with God, that he began to give me revelation. And remember, keep in mind that the Word of God tells us that the letter kills. The thus, the this, the thus not, this not, all those things. The letter kills it, but it's the spirit that gives life. And the spirit, the letter is really, I think, the truth of the matter. And if you tuned in last Thursday, you'll know that we found out something about truth. And we found out that truth is only relevant to the person who's speaking that truth. So based on that, We know that I think the word is the truth, but it's the spirit, the revelation of God that gives it life, that gives us understanding of it, that gives us direction. I think it's the revelation that transforms us by the renewing of our mind, the revelation of that word. Because if you can't understand what that word says, you can't do it, period. If you can't understand what it says, you can't do it. Therefore, you can't begin to transition. You can't begin to transform because you don't understand it. If the word of God tells you you're a caterpillar and you don't even know what a caterpillar is, or you're supposed to be a butterfly, and you don't understand that, it's just like words to you, you don't understand it, then it's going to be hard for you to transition into that or transform. So, again, I don't know how I got way off of there, but I trust you, Holy Spirit. So, again, we want to talk about tonight, because why I went there is because we have this perception that it's our thing. We could do what we want to do. And even as believers, when we come into the knowledge of Christ and we give our lives to the Lord, we still want to do whatever it is we want to do. And because of that brings us to tonight's subject. Who do they say that you are? Yes, I'm asking you, what do people say about you? When you leave the room, when you're no longer around, for those that's looking at you, especially with the social media, see, our lives are more exposed now than they ever been in history because of social media. Because in order for you to be a part of social media, you have to have your life exposed. People are looking through a glass, and they see your life. And most people don't know you. Most of us have social media accounts that we may have 2,000 people following us. And out of the 2,000 people following us, we may only have 100 that we actually know, that knows me, you know, that knows us personally. The other 900 people or 1,900 people, they don't even know you. They're learning you, or they're defining you by what they see. And people say, well, it's only social media. It's not real. Yes, it is real. Social media is very real. And when you get on there and you type your thoughts, your mind, onto that page, you are giving people a piece of your mind. Very much like when we open up the Word of God, the Bible, and we begin to read those words, we are reading the mind of Christ. That's Christ's thoughts, His words, the Word of God on paper, it's in text. And we begin to read that, and He's given us a piece of His mind. Likewise, when you're on your social media and it says, what's your thoughts? And you're putting this stuff on there, whether you're playing, whether you're not playing, whether you're sad, whether you're happy, whether you're serious, whether you're not serious, guess what? You're still a piece of your mind. And it's whatever emotion you're going through at that moment, that's what you're putting on there. And when people read it, they get a chance to understand, or they get a chance to get a glimpse of who Coach D is based on what she put on there. So, yes, now still going, so who do people say that I am? Should I be concerned about what people say? Absolutely, I should be concerned about what people say or who they think I am. Now, the devil will lead you to think, I don't care. I could toot my little toot. I could put on here that I'm celebrating 420. I could turn up. And the devil will have you think that that's okay for you to do as a believer, that you could do that, that you could do live videos, that you could post that stuff on your page, and that's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay with God, and it shouldn't be okay with you. Let me tell you why. Because when you gave in your life to Christ, you now become a representative of His kingdom. You are an ambassador. And if you know anything about being an ambassador, if somebody's an ambassador for a particular country and they're housed in another country, for example, we have many ambassadors of the U.S., and those ambassadors may be in Nigeria, they may be in London, they're in these different countries, but they're a representation of the U.S. So everything they do should be in good reputation because they're representing the U.S. Why is everybody so mad about number 45? And I'm not calling names, and you will get that, and if you don't get that, send me a text. But why is everybody so upset about number 45? Because number 45 is not a good representation of what the U.S. say we are. and what we've been throughout the centuries. So people are angry because he's not a great represent. 45 is not a great representation. And 45 has an attitude of, I don't care what the people think about me. This is my thing. I can do what I want to do. So if you're mad at number 45 because he's not a good representation, and you being an ambassador for the kingdom of God, how can you get upset or be disturbed about number 45 if we ourselves are not great ambassadors for the kingdom of God? Because we say we're believers. We say we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're saying that, how can we be okay doing whatever we want to do and we don't care about what people think about what we do? We can't. It's a contradiction. And so if Jesus is asking, who do they say that I am? He don't have to ask that question. He knows he's God. But he asked his disciples that. And I said, wow, why would he ask them that? Now, I'm not sure that he is really concerned about what they think. It may be another revelation. But for tonight, my revelation is that if Jesus asking who the people say that he is, then we might need to start asking, who do people say that I am? Do people say that Coach D is a woman of God, that she believes God, that she trusts God, that she's trying to live a life holy and acceptable without blame to God? I'm not saying that we got to be perfect, but I'm saying that we got to care. We got to be concerned about what people see in our lives. And even when we're struggling, I'm not telling you to be phony. I'm not telling you to be fake. But what I'm saying, even when you're struggling in an area, and we all have areas we struggle in, you need to be able to struggle in that area to a point of growth. The whole world don't need to see you struggling in that area. Because if God has you on assignment, and your assignment is to lead people to Christ, then either you need to step back and take a sabbatical from that assignment until you could get your act together, or either you need to push forward, process through that thing to get on track so that you could continue your assignment. It's just that simple. Because it's going to be very hard for you to, it's a saying, and somebody might have to tell me, but I'm making sure I'm saying it right, but it says, I think it's something like, how can the goose preach to the gander? Or the other saying might say, how can the skillet call the kettle black? And for those of you that's young that may have not heard that don't know what that means, in essence what that means is if your stuff is sloppy, if your stuff is out of order, if your stuff is incorrect, especially in the area that you're preaching about or you said something about, then it's hard for you to tell somebody else or point out somebody else's errors. So I'm saying to us that we got to be concerned about what people say about us, our reputation. So let's get into reputation here real quick, and then we're going to go back to Matthew, and it's going to all make sense to you. So a reputation is something that everyone has. Everybody has a reputation, good, bad, or indifferent. Everybody has a reputation. It's not something that we could escape. A reputation is something that sums up who we really are, whether or not we want it. So your reputation sums up who you really are, whether or not you want it. You can't buy a reputation, and we can't deny it. We cannot inherit it, and we cannot change it without changing ourselves. So your reputation is, in essence, it says that's who you are, okay? So, and we're going to get to that because somebody would say, well, my reputation, I used to be a killer back in the days. I was killing folks. But then I found Jesus, and that's no longer my reputation. We're going to get to that, too, because you're correct. That is not no longer your reputation. You are a new creature in Christ. But your reputation is something you do consistently. And a reputation can be changed, but you got to be willing to change yourself. We got to be willing to change ourselves because it says that it can be changed if you're willing to change you. If you operate in a certain behavior and you build a reputation of being a mean girl, so everybody knows you as a mean girl, so guess what? You're going to always have that reputation until people see a different action because actions confirm adjectives. I'm going to say that again. Actions confirm adjectives. Adjectives describe noun. An adjective describes a noun. So, you're a girl, that's a noun. You're a pretty girl, there's the adjective that describes that noun. So, if your actions are great, then the adjective that's going to describe you, your reputation is going to be great. Amen? So, a reputation, we've already discovered that a reputation is something that describes you. It becomes a part of you. It's, in essence, who you are. A reputation, reputation is not what we say we are. I could say I'm a woman of God. I could say that I'm integral. I can say that I'm loyal. You know, I can say that I'm faithful. I can say all those things. But my reputation is not what I say I am, but the reputation, my life speaks loudly about our lives, speaks loudly about who we are. People cannot hear what we say about who, people won't be able to hear what Coach D say about herself if her life is not an example of that. So if I say I'm a God-fearing woman, but my life speaks differently, then guess what? Those words that I spoke cannot be heard because reputation is not who I say I am, but it really, reputation is who others say that, you know, see me to be because of my lifestyle. What am I doing? What are people seeing me do? You know, the same people that we say we don't care about what they think about us, you know, I don't care what people think about me, so I'm going to do this, and I'm going to act like this, and I'm going to behave like this. Well, guess what? You're building your reputation, amen? A reputation is not what we think of ourselves, but rather what we are known to by others, amen? It's, you know, it's, again, your actions. Because, and I want to be careful we're not getting this mixed up with what people think you are, you know, and I want to be careful because people could think that we're a certain way, you know, and they don't really know that because they haven't seen it. There's no factual basis. There's no proof of that, but I just think she mean. Ooh, she looked mean, so she mean. I'm not talking about that. And in that case, but I'm talking about how we behave and how our reputation precedeth us, how we behave on a consistent basis that begins to cause people to define who we are is our reputation. It says that a person could have a great reputation. You could have a good reputation, but you could do one thing that could kill your good reputation. And you could write this down. We don't have to go into deep detail of it, but Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1, tells us about that. It tells us about having a good reputation and doing something wrong that could spoil it. Let me say, God is able to do anything. We already know that. And we also know that we all made some poor mistakes. We made some, you know, some bad choices, some indiscretions that possibly cost us our reputation. I don't know about you all, but I'm sure in my lifetime that I've done some things that cost me my reputation. Bad choices. And I had to spend, and then I had to spend just as much, if not more, time to rebuild my reputation to get it back in good standing. So I'm saying that things could happen that could cost you your reputation. But are you willing to do the work that it's going to take on a consistent basis to build back up your reputation? That's the question here. Are you willing to work at building it back up? Or are you just going to take the attitude where you don't care what people think about you? Because you really should care. You should care about how you're representing the kingdom of God as a believer. You should care about that you are an ambassador. And you're supposed to be representing what God say, not what you say, not what you think. Because what you think should be lined up to the word of God. And I often hear people say their thing about what they think about different subject matters. Well, I think this. Well, what does the word of God say about what you think? Does the word of God line up to what you think? Are you lining up what you think to the word of God? Because as an ambassador, you don't do what you think. You do what you told, and you do what you told based on what the word of God tells you to do. And if the word of God tells you this, then that this is it, and that's the way you act. That's the way you respond. So you can't just walk around as an ambassador and make your own rules if you're representing something else or someone else, a different country. You gotta represent them. Represent means to be a replica of this original. And we are supposed to be replicas of the original, and the original being Jesus, God in the flesh. Amen. So we can't just do what we want to do and say it's okay and we don't care about what people think. We got to stay honorable. And Ecclesiastes 10:1 tells us about even a good reputation by one thing could ruin your reputation by one folly. The way we defend our good reputation, how do I defend my good reputation? I believe I have a good reputation. Well, I was just told recently that my reputation is becoming better because my reputation wasn't always good because people see me as a difficult person to deal with. I was pretty headstrong, and my truth was the truth, period, because I didn't see myself as being a liar. I don't believe that I ever had a issue with lying. That wasn't my thing. I had some other things that I dealt with, but lying was never one of those things. So when I seen something that's the truth, that for me, it was the truth. And if you didn't believe in my truth, then you were a liar. Now, I'm saying that to say because a lot of us function like that. And I just got that revelation. God just gave me that revelation last week. I had to go through some pain and some suffering because I had a truth, and it was my truth. It was factual. It was truth based on what I believed to be fact. But it wasn't other people's truth. And I was bent out of shape because I said, these people are lying and there's a conspiracy because they don't believe my truth. And God had to begin to give me a lesson on truth. He had to give me a lesson on truth is based on facts, and facts are subject to change. So your truth is not going to be my truth. And if your truth don't line up to God, who is the truth, then it's not the truth. Listen to that message from last week. It's powerful. It'll change the way we think about things. So saying all that to say is that how we defend our good reputation, and I want to have a good reputation. I want to continue to consistently have a good reputation. We maintain it by living an honorable lifestyle. That's how you maintain your good reputation, by living an honorable lifestyle. Proverbs 22:1, and I'm going to read this one because I used to use that word as a handle. That was one of my, you know, when you have an email, you know, screen names. That was one of my original screen names for probably about over 20-something years ago, was Proverbs 22:1. And what that is a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor. Rather than silver or gold, we do not have to protect a good name from those who are loose with their tongues. So in other words, your good name, your reputation, we see story after story in the Bible about men who were had good reputation, and we see stories of men with bad reputation. But it tells us in the Word of God is that a good reputation, a good name, what people say about you is important. It don't have to be important to us. It's important in the Word of God. It wouldn't be in the Word if it wasn't important. So he's telling us a good name is important. Your reputation, what people think about you, is important. If people think that you're a good person, that's important. Now, let me say it in a secular form. A secular form, I think your reputation is very important because that dash in between the time you was born and the time you leave this earth, that dash is what people talk about when you leave. When you leave this earth, and if you're blessed enough to have had good relationships, if you're blessed enough to have had a good reputation, then your services, your homegoing services, your celebration is going to be numerous. It's going to be people in there. And those people are going to get up and they're going to take 2 minutes to describe your reputation as they see it. They're going to describe who you were to them. And I don't know, I'm sure it's been funerals where people got up there and said some not so good things about the deceased. But in most cases, in most funerals, at least the ones I've been to, even when I knew that maybe the reputation wasn't good, people still got good reports. But it's the dash in between that's going to determine what your reputation was, who you were, what did you do, what was your character, your integrity, what was your accountability, was you a good ambassador? That dash. A good name is better than silver or gold. Amen? A reputation will follow you far beyond every victory we win in life. It's saying, the word of God is saying a lot about reputation. It really is. And if you know anything about the word and if you study the word, that you know that when words are repetitive, and I mean that's in the word of God, the Bible, but even in life, when if you're reading over a contract, and that contract keeps repeating some of the same things, you better pay attention to that because it's repetitive for a reason. There's an importance. If you go to be a homeowner and you're going through your homeowner's contract, if you start seeing something repetitive, pay attention. That's a red flag. That's the thing to say, this you want to take note of. You want to remember this. That's why it's repetitive. You might have a 30-page contract that you're filling out, and if you keep seeing these same words on the same page, on each page, pay attention to it. It's important. The Word of God is the same. When He talks about a subject matter repetitively, it's important to Him, and so it better be important to you as an ambassador of the kingdom. He said reputation is important to God for us because we're representing Him. We're representing Him, and we need to honor Him. How do we honor Him? In our lifestyles. How does He get the glory? Does He get the glory through our lives? When we're living honorable lives, God gets the glory. And as we grow into the things of God, the Word of God, it's not about a pastor. It's not about what a pastor did wrong. It's not about what another Christian did wrong. Our life is vertical, and it's about what God expects from you according to His word. And if you don't believe His word, then you don't believe God. Now, people will argue with me on that. That's okay. I'm okay because I'm not going to argue the word of God, but I'm standing firm because I believe in the word of God as being the Holy Bible. That's my belief. And if you're saying you're a Christian, that should be your belief too. Now, if that's not your belief, and if you brought into the propaganda that it's been translated wrong, that it's being rewritten, that it's not for all people, just some people, that's fine if that's what you believe. But that's not what I believe because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I believe that the word is the mind of God. I believe it was inspired by the Spirit of God. And I believe that if you read it with the Spirit of God, then you're going to get the revelations you need to get. And when you get the revelations you need to get, you'll realize that this revelation of this word called the Holy Bible was not for a specific person, not when Jesus came. He came to bridge the gap. That where it's not, this salvation, this redemption is for all humans. All living beings. It's not because you're black. It's not because you're white. It's not because you're Hispanic or Asian or whatever. Whatever it is, it's for all. That invitation, that gift has been given to all life if they'll accept it. And so the problem is that if you don't believe that, that's fine. But I would just challenge you to say that Just perhaps you were not expected to get the revelation of this. Just perhaps you wouldn't read it. Because, see, the enemy knows that most of us don't read the Bible. Most of us talk about being Christians. Most of us talk about believing in God, but most of us don't read the Bible. Guess what? That's exactly where he needs us to be because he needs us ignorant to the promises of God in our lives regardless of what my skin color is. He needs us ignorant to the promises of God regardless of what my denomination is. He needs us ignorant. How does he keep us ignorant? He keeps us ignorant by us not reading the Word of God. So if we don't read the Word of God, we don't know the Word of God, so therefore we can't operate in the Word of God and will never receive the promises of God. If you don't know that there's a promise of salvation, if you don't know that there's a redemptive plan, if you don't know that you could do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you, you won't know any of those things unless you read His Word. So now you're reading His Word. If you're not reading it, I'm telling you the Word, and I want you to go read it for yourself, is that God is very concerned about your reputation. Who do people say that you are? Who do they say that you are? Amen? Again, the reputation will follow us far beyond every victory we win in life. And the sooner we change and build a good reputation, the more lasting the good reputation will be. I just want you to just meditate on that. The sooner we build a good reputation, the more lasting the good reputation will be. What do you think of? I'm going to just call out some names, and you tell me. What kind of reputation do you know them to have? What do you think when I say Cain? Demas. Job. Rahab, Martha, Mary. I could go on with a list of names, and all I got to do is tell you the name. And if you know anything about the Word of God, if you know anything about the stories of God, when I say those names, you automatically get a perception of who that person is. And you already have defined in your mind if that person had a good or bad reputation. When I hear the word Rahab, immediately I know who she is. And I believe that though she started off with a bad reputation of being a prostitute, she began to build a good reputation because of what she did for the gentleman. When we think about Mary, you know, think about all these people. And some of these people I'm naming have some pretty rough reputations starting off. You know, Mary was a prostitute. You know, that wept at Jesus' feet. And then she turned around to be one of his biggest followers. She began to rebuild her reputation. And when I say that, I get a picture. And just think in your minds, if you will, you imagining Mary to come to Jesus, her cup is full with a bad reputation. Her cup is filled with dirty water. And in her repentance, she pours out that cup of dirty water as she began to repent at his foot, foot of the cross, at the altar, wherever that altar is for you, that you just go before there and you repent and you pour out all of that dirty water that's in that cup, the bad reputation, and you pour it out. And then you begin to build a new reputation by prayer, praise, worship, the Word. Worship, the Word, prayer, praise. And as you're doing those things, you begin to replenish your cup with clean water, clean reputation, and you become consistent with it. Will you make some mistakes? Yeah, you will, because you won't make mistakes as long as you're in this flesh. But you're beginning to pour in clean water. And the more you pour in clean water, the less of the dirty water is there. Because if you're pouring in clean water and that cup is overflowing, anything that's in that overflowing cup is going to spill out until you get to a point where you have nothing but clean water. Matter of fact, let's say you don't even pour out, but you just get up under the water stream. And Jesus is that water stream. And you get up under that water stream, and you got a dirty container. And I want you to close your eyes and imagine this. You have a dirty container, and that when you look in that jug, it's black with dirt, bad reputation, bad acting, bad attitude, bad disposition, bad choices, bad decisions. Think about your life and all the bad decisions and choices and things that you've done that's caused you to be filthy and dirty. And you need an agent that can clean that. You can't clean it, but you need an agent that can clean that. You need some fresh anointing, some fresh water. And so you put this self, yourself, your vessel, your cup, and you're dirty, and you put it up under the covering of the blood of Jesus, that water spout that's coming down, that fresh water coming down, and you get up under that thing, and that thing begins to run into this dirty water. And you let that run consistently over a protracted period of time. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? That water is going to become clean. It's going to become fresh. The dirty water is going out. The clean is coming in. And the two can't stay in the same place. It's impossible. It's impossible for a dirty vessel to be up under a spigot of fresh, clean, pouring water on a consistent basis over a protracted period of time. That dirty water is going to begin to leave. It has to. Because dark and light can't stay in the same place. It can't. So it begins to leave. The bad reputation begins to leave. I used to be a drug addict, begin to leave. I used to be promiscuous, begin to leave. I used to be a murderer, begins to leave. I used to be a prostitute, begins to leave. I used to be hateful, begins to leave. I used to be mean, begins to leave. I used to be hateful, begins to leave. I used to be a failure, begins to leave. This person hurt me and I hate, begins to leave. So all that dirt is beginning to leave. You are beginning to change your reputation. You are becoming a new person in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you're in the Word. Why? Because you're worshiping. Why? Because you're praying. Why? Because you're praising. And you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your reputation is changing. And you know what? You know it, some of you that have begun to change your reputation. Because why? Because people who created your reputation begin to say, ooh, you different. Ooh, she don't do that no more. Ooh, look at him. Something different about him. And they're watching you now. You can't get turned up and say, I'm just chilling. No, because they're watching you now. Because you got a new reputation you building. And they trying to see if it's going to be consistent. And we get mad at people. Tell the truth and shame the devil. We will get mad at people because they watching us. They just watching. They waiting for me to slip up. And we get pissed off. Who do they think they are watching me? Who do they think they are waiting for me to slip up? But I guess what? We don't have a reason to get pissed off. We shouldn't be getting pissed off because you know what? They're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They're watching us. They want to see the change. They want to see the consistency. They want to see the testimony. Because Revelation tells us that they overcame him. Who's him? The ruler of this world. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Meaning they accepted Jesus Christ, and they now covered under that blood by the words of their testimony. Guess what? Your testimony means nothing if you taint it. A tainted testimony is powerless. So a tainted testimony is like a bad reputation. It's powerless. And if you're not consistent in your walk, I'm not saying perfect, and we will slip and we will fall. So this is not a call of condemnation. What I'm saying is that we need to be consistent with our walk because we are being watched, and we better care about what people are saying about us. We better care about what our reputation is because we are saying that we are children of God. We better get to a point that when we're doing stuff, what we need to ask ourselves is, with God, if God came right now, would he be pleased at what I'm doing, where I'm at, how I'm behaving? That's what we need to ask ourselves. And to each person, that could be something different. Because it could be something different. Because your relationship with God is your relationship with God. He going to pull your coattail when you out of order. He going to jank your chain when you're out of order. But you have the free will to acknowledge that pull and say, oops, Lord, I'm sorry about that. I'm getting it right. Or to not acknowledge it and ignore it. You have the opportunity to stop at the edge of the cliff, and you also have the same opportunity to go over the edge of the cliff. So it's up to you. Your reputation is up to you. Good reputations are built one day at a time. And they're also lost one day. They also could be lost one day at a time. So you choose. Are you going to build your reputation or are you going to tear it down? Are you going to be a good ambassador or are you not going to be a good ambassador? This walk is not easy. I wouldn't sit up here and say that the walk is easy because it's not an easy walk. But it takes effort. It takes action. And he says that we can do all things through him. So basically, beyond even the effort, beyond the walk, it's not in our own power, but in his power in us. So it takes Jesus. You got to have a personal relationship with him. You got to spend time with him. You got to have relationship as far exceeds religion. If you get caught up in doctrine and religion and all these things and you miss what God is doing, and then you miss what God is doing. All that stuff has its place. But we know the Pharisees were great religious men. They were great religious men. They was able to tell you everything that they was doing, how many times they were doing in a day, and what made them honorable in the sight of God. But guess what? God was amongst them. They knew the truth. They was reading in the synagogues. They was reading the scrolls. They knew the truth. They knew the truth. They knew the truth. And yet when revelation was right in front of them, they missed it. They missed the revelation of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. They missed it because of their religious beliefs. They were blinded, and they couldn't even see him because they wouldn't let go of religion and build a relationship with him. None of them wanted to take the time to get to know who this Emmanuel was. Let me sit down and sup with him. Let me talk to him. Let me do a one-on-one with him. Let me get rid of all my homeboys and all of their chatter about who they don't think he is. And let me get on a one-on-one with him. Let me get into his mind. I want to see who he is. I just wonder if more of them would have did that, how many of them would have walked away from their Pharisee faith? Zacharias, I believe it was Zacharias, he sat down and had that one-on-one. How many of you are sitting down and having that one-on-one with God? How many of you are taking the time to get to know this man that you say you love, this man that you say you believe in? How many of you are taking the time to get to know him? Because guess what? What I found out is that as I spend more time with him, the more time I spend with him, the more he reveals my reputation to me. He began to reveal to me my reputation. He began to reveal to me my strengths and my weaknesses. He began to minister to me the areas of my life that I need to get in order, the areas of my life that I need to correct, the things that I need to do. Now it's up to me to be obedient when he shows me something that's out of alignment to his will for my life. It's up to me to see that and say, okay, I got you. Is it easy? No. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard getting rid of old habits, especially if you've been having a habit for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. It's hard to get rid of it. So it's not easy, but it's doable. We could get rid of those old habits that's not pleasing to God. And just because you don't smoke, and just because you don't drink, and just because you don't go to the club no more, and just because you show up at church 3 days a week, and you serve on the usher board, and you're over the children's ministry, all good things. But just because of that thing, those things don't mean that you are not out of order. Because you could do all that stuff and have a bad attitude, and that bad attitude negates everything else you're doing. You could do that and have unforgiveness, and that unforgiveness negates all the other good things you did, because unforgiveness is a zero, and zero times anything equals nothing. You could do all of that stuff. You could, hey, you could go to school or get ordained, and you could be a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, evangelist, prophetess, and all that, and have hate in your heart, and everything else is negated. Everything else is negated. Now, we're coming toward the end, and I want to say some other things, and then I got a couple of people I want to mention. But I want to go ahead and finish Matthew. We started with Matthew chapter 16, and I said I was going to go verses 13 through 20. I read verse 13 for you, and that was, now when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And I stopped there, and then I brought it all together. Now I'm going to read the rest. And they answered, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or just one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are Christ, the Messiah, the anointed Son of the living God. Then Jesus answered him, blessed, happy, spiritually secure, favored by God, are you Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood, mortal man, did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. I will give you the keys, authority. That's what it means. I will give you the authority of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he gave his disciples strict orders. So I'm saying all this to say to you that who does God say? So we're talking about who do people say that you are, but who does God say that you are? Who does God say that you are? And you got to come into a revelation knowledge of Jesus. You got to come into a personal relationship. You got to get under the spigot for you to begin to see who God said you are. You got to begin to remove that bad reputation. You got to begin to remove that old dirty filth. And the only way you could do that is through a Holy Ghost, a revelation of God, the revelation of God. And it says here, because flesh, he told Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. And guess what? Flesh and blood ain't going to reveal to you who God say you are. Amen? Flesh and blood can't reveal that to you. Only God can do that. The Spirit of God, through the presence of God in your life, through you spending time, through you sitting down, being still, the Word, the worship, prayer, and praise, the Word, the worship, prayer, and praise. That's how you begin to see who God say you are. So now you can take out some of those bad habits and replace them with good habits. You can wash away some of that dirt with cleanness. Let that water flow in there and begin to clean out the dirt, the mud that's in your life that's causing you to have a bad reputation. And you have a bad reputation. Why? Because you don't know who God say you are. You don't know who God say you are, because when you begin to understand who God say you are, then you know what? You're not going to act the same way. You're not going to talk the same way. You're not going to be the same way. And when you slip up, you're going to be able to repent. And it's going to come a time where that little thing that you got a bad habit with, whatever that thing is, it's going to start leaving. It's going to start disappearing. But you got to stay up under the water, because if you're not staying up on the water, it's going to linger. It's going to be there. It's going to stay longer than it should have. So you got to get up under the Word. You got to get up under that flowing spigot, which is the Word, the worship, the praise, and the prayer, so that God can begin to transform you, that he can begin to clean you out by the renewing of your mind, building your faith, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you got to do that. You can't continue to operate in the same bad habits and do the same things you used to do to think that you're going to become a new, you know, that it's going to give you a good reputation. It's going to turn things around. Because guess what? Yes, now I understand that God wants me to be concerned because I am an ambassador of the kingdom of God. But what I also understand in all of this, too, is that, yes, it's important. What my reputation says, what people think about, what are they saying about me? Let me not say think, but what are they saying about me? Because think about me is one thing, but what people are saying about me may be something else based on my actions. What am I doing that's causing people to say things about me that's building my reputation? But more importantly, what does God say about me? That's the most important. What is God saying about me? Because if God's saying some good things about me, then that means that I'm on track. That I'm on target, and I got to believe what he say about me. And I should not say that. I'm going to take that back because you might not be on target because you don't know what he's saying. But God said some good things about us. He really said some wonderful things about us. And because he said some wonderful things about us, we got to believe those things and walk in them. Amen? Amen. So I thought my sister was on the line because she was going to share some things, but I guess she didn't make it. So I'm not going to have to take up any more of your time on tonight. If anybody listening in on tonight have a question or a comment about tonight's show, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment, and we could bring you right on in. We'd love to hear back from you how the shows are blessing you, whether it's tonight's show or if it was a future show. We would love to hear your responses of if that blessed you or if that helped you out or if it didn't help you out. Or if you have questions about what was said on any of the shows, again, you can dial 1 on your dial pad, and that'll let our team know. We are coming to the close of our show, and I just want you all to know that I appreciate you. Thank you for your continual support and listening in to MCD Network and its family of broadcasts, which includes Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Woman to Woman, and then also on Thursday nights, Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. And we are starting on Monday, July the 19th. We are adding yet another show to our family of broadcasts. And on Monday, starting July the 19th, at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we will be having New Body Nutrition. New Body Nutrition. And that show is going to be talking about our health. You know, it's going to give you a lot of. Every Monday night you could come in and learn about your body, learn about your brain, learn about the things that you could do to begin to rebuild and re-nourish your temple. Amen. And so I'm so excited about that, and hopefully you'll let your friends and family know that on Monday nights they'll learn some very important naturopathic things that we could do to begin to heal our bodies. Because I'm going to let you know, if you're on medication, I get it, but I'm letting you know that nothing about modern medicine, yes, it'll keep you alive for a moment, because the medicine that we're taking as far as Western medicine is not meant to heal us. It's just treating the symptoms. And in essence, oftentimes when it's treating one symptom, it's creating several more symptoms or several more issues. And so, again, if you are interested in beginning to take baby steps to a healthier lifestyle, a healthier way of eating, a healthier way of putting things in your body, then on Monday nights you want to tune in at 7 p.m. so that you can get this pertinent information and find out how you can start the journey. For those of you that know me, know that today is day 50 of me being a vegan. Many people may not even know what a vegan is, and a vegan is just anyone that does not eat anything that comes from anything that has eyes. So no dairy, no meat. And so I'm doing that not because I'm trying to convince you to live a vegan lifestyle because you don't have to live a vegan lifestyle to make healthy choices. But I chose that right now in my life more so for a spiritual purpose, because I'm really trying to take dominion over my temple. I'm trying, this is a discipline thing for me, and I want to be disciplined, and I want to begin to transform my temple so that, or my flesh, so that it don't tell me what it want to do, but I tell it what it's going to do according to the word. Amen. So again, I thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated, and I hope to see you next week on Tuesday for Woman to Woman and on Thursday for Processing the Pain. Have a blessed evening.